Kings Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football and a corruption scandal that spans from Kenya in East Africa to Ghana in West Africa. Joining us now with details and reaction is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. The Ghanaian government has dissolved its National Football Association after the Ghana Football Association president, Kwesi Nyatachi, was filmed apparently accepting a bribe. Kwesi Nyatachi was pictured taking $65,000 from an undercover reporter pretending to be a businessman keen to invest in Ghanaian football. Ghana journalist Anas Aremayo Anas, in his documentary entitled When Greed and Corruption Become the Norm, showed how several Ghanaian football referees and officials accepted bribes before matches. The revelation has drawn the condemnation of many Ghanaians.
Shocking. I mean, this sport is the passion of the nation. I just don't get it.
It's an interesting watch. I would say that it didn't live up to its billing. But generally, I think that it exposed a lot in Ghanaian sports. And there's a lot to do to redeem the image of Ghana sports. We want to see some real action, people taking to tax for this kind of behavior.
Seemingly responsible person will make such statements to the public. And the president was emphatic in saying that he knows next to nothing about what coincidentally is purported to have said.
It appears that that documentary has claimed its first casualty as Kenyan referee Aden Marawa will not take part in the World Cup in Russia from June 14th to July 15th after he was filmed taking a bribe in a past competition in Ghana. The secret video showed Marawa taking $600 from an undercover journalist who posed as a Ghanaian football official in 2017 in a hotel lobby. And it's 6 days to the World Cup in Russia. And as for the African teams representing the continent at the football biggest spectacle in Russia, they are at the final stretch of their preparations. For the Super Eagles of Nigeria, they've lost 2-1 to England and 1-0 to Czech Republic in their final warm-up games. Coach General Ross says his team still has a lot of work to be done before their first game on June 16th against Croatia.
The first lesson is that we are not ready yet and we have to work much more in the 2 weeks we have before our first game. Perhaps also the preparation was not so good. I think the beginning of the game, the players were not ready. And then in the second half, all changes. So a lot of lessons for the staff today.
And as the clock ticks, many fans here are hoping the African teams will do well at the World Cup. They also have their predictions on which teams will shine.
The best team going into the World Cup should be the Atlas Lions of Morocco, you know, because their preparations have started way back.
It's just how it is sometimes. And to the Tunisians, I love the comeback they did against the Portuguese. That was a few days back.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. And I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For more on Nigeria's World Cup preparations, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Christian Chukwu, who captained the Super Eagles to their first Africa Cup of Nations title in 1980. Chukwu tells Iron Mike that he doesn't have high expectations for a young Nigerian squad in Russia.
I think we have a very young team, young players. Honestly speaking, I'm not expecting them to do wonders in this World Cup. But if we can keep them together in the next 4 years, then we will go very far in the World Cup. You know, but for now, the young team, we have problems here and there and there. As you were saying, in the defense, I think our fullbacks have not lived fully up to expectations. But I believe that Roy is going to do something about it. When you come to midfield, we have a problem there too. In the attack, our attackers are not finishing well. And because they are not yet a team, that is why we are having all this problem. Once they're a team, from the goalkeeper to defense to midfield to attacker, once they become a team, we will not be having such problems anymore.
Do you think that with the little time left that Coach Genotro can do something to play well in the World Cup?
Well, he's going to do his best, but I was shouting right from the early stages before the qualifying. You don't neglect your home-based players. They should have formed the nucleus of the national team, because these are the people you can get together at any time, and they can stay as long as you want, training, camping. I'm not saying we don't need the foreign base. We need them. But we need them where we are having difficulties in certain positions, and they are doing very well. But for us to go and get 23 players from Europe, I don't think I'm in support of it. Because if we have groomed our home-based players, and I don't think we will be talking this kind of a thing. I could remember in 1994, we made the foundation of our national team then was from the home base. Then we add one or two, three foreign base, but all the same as it has done, because these players, you cannot get them at the time you want them.
In future tournaments, like we have AFCON to play, AFCON qualifiers to play, and some other international matches later in the year, are you suggesting that home-based players be made part of the Super Eagles team?
Roy is employed for him to come here and develop our football. It is not only coming here and going to get foreign base. People that are developed already. And this thing is also affecting our league. You find our players, the one that scored goal today, scored tomorrow, he starts going. He says, if he doesn't go out of the country, he will not be able to play in the national team. Then you find them going in the countries like Iran, and so it doesn't all go well. Because if we have confidence in them and train them, you see how strong our league will be.
And what would be your advice to the team as they start? And as they get ready to play their first match in the Russia 2018 World Cup?
Yeah, my advice to them is, first and foremost, I'm going to wish them good luck. We are going to give them all the support they need, and they should play to instructions of the coach. If they play to the instructions of the coach, I believe they will achieve. They will get results.
That's Christian Chukwu, the former captain of Nigeria's national football team. And Christian was talking with reporter Iron Mike Imbonye in Enugu, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With 6 days until the World Cup kicks off in Russia, how about another fun World Cup fact for our VOA listeners? Six is also the number of goals striker Paolo Rossi scored at the 1982 World Cup in Spain, where he helped lead Italy to its third World Cup title. Rossi won the Golden Boot as top goal scorer in Spain, and he also won the Golden Ball as best player at the 1982 World Cup. Widely regarded as one of the greatest Italian footballers of all time, I'm sure Paolo Rossi is not happy about the Italians failing to qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The Italians have one of the proudest World Cup pedigrees of any country. In addition to that 1982 World Cup title, the Azzurri lifted the World Cup trophy in 1934, 1938, and 2006. Meanwhile, the video assistant referee system will be rolled out for the first time at a FIFA World Cup at Russia 2018. FIFA President Gianni Infantino believes it will be a big help to the officials on the pitch.
It will be a great help to the referee, and we have to help the referee if we can. In 2018, it's not anymore conceivable that everyone, be it at home or in the stadium, knows within seconds whether the referee has committed a mistake, a big mistake. And this can happen because they are human beings. And the only one who doesn't know is the referee. This will bring, I think, more justice. The referee will, in any case, take always the final decision.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino also says the referees will be involved in the fight against racial discrimination during World Cup matches in Russia.
We'll have clear procedures in place to fight discrimination, including a three-step process by the referees who can stop, suspend, or even abandon a match in case of discrimination. We'll have a monitoring system, including then immediate disciplinary sanctions if something would happen. We obviously wish that this doesn't happen, and everyone is warned that if it happens, this will have serious consequences.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino warning of serious consequences if there's racial discrimination during World Cup matches in Russia. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You've been listening to joyous Washington Capitals ice hockey fans. They celebrated overnight here in Washington after the Capitals won their first Stanley Cup trophy in the club's 44-year history. The Caps beat the host Vegas Golden Knights on Thursday night 4-3 to win the Stanley Cup Finals 4-1. The front page of the Washington Post newspaper showed Washington's Russian star, Alex Ovechkin, hoisting the Stanley Cup trophy over his head on the ice. Talk to us, Alex.
I think this is just like a dream, you know, like it was hard, long season. We fight through it. We work so hard through all the years. And, you know, we was together. It was a whole one team.
Alex Ovechkin also won the Conn Smythe Trophy, awarded to the most valuable player during the National Hockey League playoffs. Another Washington Capital who lifted the Stanley Cup trophy over his head was goaltender Braden Holtby, and he paid tribute to Washington's fans.
The city deserves it so much to see the support. You know, the people coming out even, you know, you hear about it just for this game, the heck of the watch party and all that. We've been trying hard, and, you know, we're glad to finally do it for the city.
Meanwhile, the head coach of the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals is Barry Trotz. He says the Caps showed their fighting spirit in the Stanley Cup Finals and throughout the playoffs.
To me, you know, they changed all the narratives. They checked off every box. Look at every series. We were down in every series, come back in every one. And it was probably fitting that we were down in this game and have to come back and win.
That's Barry Trotz, the head coach of the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals ice hockey team. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll go to Uganda for a feature on motorsport. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Kemi Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net, thanks Dikembe. On June 25th, Dikembe Mutombo will receive the National Basketball Association's Sager Strong Award, an annual prize given to an individual who has been a trailblazer while exemplifying courage, faith, compassion, and grace. The award is named for longtime NBA sideline reporter Craig Sager, who died of leukemia in 2016 at the age of 65. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The NBA Finals resume later Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio, where it's must-win for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers against the defending champion Golden State Warriors. The Warriors beat the Cavs Wednesday night in Cleveland, 110-102, to take a commanding 3-0 lead in the best-of-7 championship series. Kevin Durant scored a playoff-career-high 43 points for the Warriors in Game 3. Golden State's head coach is Steve Kerr.
As usual, he hit a big one. He always finds a way to make big plays, even on his toughest nights. But we got a lot of guys who can score and fill it up, and they lift each other up if one of them's having a tough night. And, it's pretty nice luxury as a coach, that's for sure.
That's Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. The defending champion Warriors have a 3-0 lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. And that's right, Golden State will win its third NBA title in 4 years with a victory later Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio. Now let's go to Uganda, where the love for motorsport keeps increasing by both fans and drivers alike, despite the fact that winners are not given prize money. Organizers believe motorsport can help the government to boost local tourism, and rally drivers are appealing for sponsorship. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a feature from reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinge in Kampala.
Hundreds of fans stand by the roadside to cheer up their favorite rally drivers at Chabakuza village in Masaka district of central Uganda during the just concluded Southern Motorsport Club Challenge Rally. Frank Antlak is one of them. Antlak says he started watching rallies when he was just about 6 years. Usually, would accompany his father, who was also a motor rally fanatic.
Basically, I like thrilling games. I like things that take me up to the maximum. Motorsport is man versus machine, so you get what I'm saying. Motorsport is an ordinary sport, first of all, so you come here by own risk, and I like risky things.
At times, until Lux says, he tries out at navigation. Hotelelia, Caroline Namanda also says she's a loyal motorsport fan. But besides enjoying the sport, she also gets time to network with different people at rallies.
Oh, rallying is a very good game. It collects a lot of crowd. Very many people come and enjoy it. And a class of people, which are my target clients, the corporates. So I'm also involved into this because I need the corporates for my hotel.
One of her favorite drivers is 3-time national rally champion, Jas Mangat. Mangat says motor racing is a family sport.
What I love most about the sport, it's exciting. It builds my adrenaline and it requires a lot of concentration. I think it was something we always looked at as kids. My father used to drive, so I tried to follow his footsteps.
Mangat races Mitsubishi Evo Series, which costs well over $30,000 before taxes, and also has to import spare parts at an expensive price since Uganda does not manufacture them. At the end of the day, only accolades are not cash, is all the winner goes home with. But he says it's emotionally rewarding to see hundreds of fans watch you perform your favorite sport.
It's amazing that this sport can get so much attention from the public. We just wish that with the sport we can benefit from it and you know, instill good habits and good values to the spectators.
Each year, drivers must compete in 7 rallies, and one with more points is crowned the national champion. Southern Motorsport Club Challenge Rally winner Ponsian Rwakataka, aka Mafumafu, is one of the darling of the sport. He says he would not have won the sport if it wasn't the generosity of his fans.
I have groups on WhatsApp. Once I'm going to drive, I call up everybody at least to give me 20,000. So like this year, they contributed for me 15 million. That's why I prepared my car.
Katende Muchibi is the chairman of the Sport Commission in Uganda.
The sport is very popular and adding a lot in terms of the economy, because everywhere we go, the rally economy is close to 2 billion Uganda shillings. And what does that imply? That we can be a vehicle that government can use to promote domestic tourism. And that is one of the things we are looking at.
Motorsport in Uganda started around 1950s, but became more popular in 1990s. Rally drivers here say, once they get sponsorship, they'll be able to participate in regional and international competitions.
Six overall car number 74, Toyota Corolla, Frank Tatia and Hamza Lwanga.
For the Sunny Side of Sport, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, world number one Rafael Nadal of Spain will play Dominic Thiem of Austria in Sunday's men's singles final at the French Open in Paris. Both players won in straight sets on Friday. Defending champion Rafa moved closer to his record-extending 11th, count them, 11th French Open trophy. He's got 10, but he wants 11. Rafa wants 11, and he got closer to that 11th trophy when he beat Argentina's Juan Martín Del Potro 6-4, 6-1, and 6-2 on Friday. Meanwhile, the 24-year-old Dominic Thiem advanced to his first Grand Slam singles final by beating Italy's Marco Cecchinato 7-5, 7-6, and 6-1. The women's singles final will be played on Saturday in Paris. American Sloane Stephens will play Romania's Simona Halep. Stephens won her first Grand Slam singles title last year at the U.S. Open in New York. Halep, meanwhile, has reached the French Open ladies final for a third time in her career, but she's still hoping to lift the trophy for a first time. Halep lost last year in the final to Yelena Ostapenko of Latvia in 3 sets. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo by Ken Blaze. Ken took the photo for USA Today Sports. It shows Kevin Durant of the Warriors firing from long range over the outstretched arms of Cleveland defender Kevin Love. As I mentioned earlier, the Warriors going for another NBA title later Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio. And that wraps up the June 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. I want to give a shout out to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov, proudly wearing his Alex Ovechkin Washington Capitals jersey. Go Caps! Go Caps! Stanley Cup champion Caps! And thank you! Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On June 8th, much of the world observes United Nations World Oceans Day. The idea is to remind people how important the world's oceans are to all life on Earth, to celebrate their beauty, and to bring attention to the impact human activity has on the oceans. This year, the theme is preventing plastic pollution and encouraging solutions for a healthy ocean. The world's oceans cover nearly three-fourths of the Earth's surface and contain 97% of our planet's water. They produce over half of our oxygen, help regulate our climate, absorb carbon dioxide, and support the greatest abundance of life on our planet. Nearly half of all species on Earth depend on the oceans for survival, and for many of the rest, including for people, the oceans improve the quality of life. The oceans are also indispensable to the world's economy because they are key to transportation and recreation. And inasmuch as over 95% of the underwater realm remains unexplored, it is nearly a certainty that their depths may hold the cure to many a disease, the resolution to many a problem. And yet, as much as 40% of the world's oceans are heavily affected by human activities that result in pollution, overfishing, and loss of coastal habitats. Of particular concern is plastic debris. Some of it comes from ships that ply our rivers, lakes, and seas, and eventually makes its way into the ocean. But about 8 million metric tons of plastic waste washes off land into the ocean each year. Once there, it begins to break down until it turns into small fragments known as microplastics. Plastics are a serious threat because they degrade very slowly, entangle sea creatures, damage habitats like coral reefs, and are ingested by marine animals. Researchers have documented impacts of plastic on over 650 different marine species, including sea turtles, seals, whales, dolphins, porpoises, seabirds, and fish. On World Oceans Day, we must remember that the health and safety of our oceans is our collective responsibility, one that we cannot afford to neglect. Only through good stewardship can we safeguard the health of our oceans and ensure that the oceans continue to meet the needs of future generations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
It's the weekend, and whatever you're doing, you could use a little extra love. Music love, that is. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa, and I've got the perfect weekend show for you. I'm the king of the kuntu, and the lovely way I do this uncle. First, a 30-minute playlist of the continent's best music. Then, a live studio interview and music performance by Leni Stern Trio. Think award-winning female electric guitar player falls in love with West African griot music. So lots of love coming to you this weekend. Don't miss it on Music Time in Africa, Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 UTC. Yeah! VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts.
covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.